Good morning. This is the California Report. In for Queen of Kim, I'm Julie Small. If there is such a thing as good news when it comes to this historic drought, maybe it's this. Californians finally understand it's a problem. There's a real sense of gloom across the state when it comes to the drought. A new poll finds 43% of those surveyed now think the water woes will continue for the next decade. Worth noting here, pollster Mark Baldessari of the Public Policy Institute of California says two-thirds of us think it's someone else's fault.
You know, it's as if they're thinking about it as it's somebody else's problem. It's my neighbor's problem or it's government's problem. That's what the governor and the legislature and other leaders around the state are struggling with right now.
Meantime, the state Senate approved emergency legislation Wednesday to provide more money for drought relief, things like food aid for farm workers, water recycling, and flood prevention. But Republicans objected to the expansion of state regulatory powers. Sacramento area Republican Senator Jim Nielsen said the bill was rushed through.
What we are doing here is capitalizing agencies of government on an emergency situation to gain sweeping new powers.
The Assembly is expected to take up the bill today. Remember last summer when tens of thousands of Central American migrants showed up at the U.S.-Mexico border? What happened to them? Turns out nearly 4,000 mothers and their children were locked up. That's a big change in immigration policy. Now advocates are challenging these family detentions in court. In the first of two reports, we'll hear from one woman and her son, now in the San Francisco Bay Area. She said they were fleeing criminal violence, but when they got here, she felt they were treated as criminals. When Stephanie waded into the Rio Grande clutching her six-year-old son, she had no idea what to expect on the other side. The smuggler who brought them from El Salvador left them abruptly at the river's edge.
I was really scared because I didn't know where I was. I wasn't carrying water or food. I didn't know what was going to happen, and my heart was racing.
On the other side of the river, Border Patrol agents took them into custody. The next day, they sent them to a family detention center in Karnes, Texas, where ICE was holding hundreds of other women and children. It was early September. The first night, Stephanie began asking the guards to return her prescription medication.
So I waited. I asked and I asked. I kept telling them I need my pills.
Over the 6 weeks she was in custody, she never received that medicine. Stephanie recounts this story sitting in her bedroom in a cramped second-floor apartment just off a busy freeway south of San Francisco. After her release, she made her way here to reunite with her husband, Jose, who sought asylum in the U.S. last year. As we talk, Jose sits on the floor with Jose Jr., lining up matchbox cars to roll down a red plastic ramp. Stephanie and Jose asked us not to use their last names because they're afraid the people they fled in El Salvador could retaliate. Jose was a political activist there. He was attacked by men from an opposing party who threatened to kill him if he didn't leave. Stephanie says she was forced to follow when those same men came after her, demanding $5,000.
They told me they would give me one more day to get them the money. They said they weren't fooling, and if I didn't come up with the money, I should get my coffin ready, and one for my son.
The memory overwhelms Stephanie. She starts to cry.
Permiso.
Half a dozen years ago, ICE shut down a family detention center after a lawsuit charged that the prison-like setting was no place for children. But last summer, ICE rapidly expanded family lockups. Government officials wanted to send a message to dissuade mothers from coming here with their children, says Mark Rosenblum with the Migration Policy Institute in Washington, D.C.
The government has a totally valid interest in sending a message to Central America that people who don't have a valid humanitarian claim are not going to be permitted to stay. And it's better for people to get that message without traveling thousands of miles across Mexico and then getting deported back.
But Professor Denise Gilman at the University of Texas School of Law says the blanket detention policy doesn't take account of individual circumstances.
And that deprivation of liberty is wrong, and frankly, it's cruel to these children and their mothers who are fleeing horrible violence and have come here seeking help.
Now, Gilman and the ACLU are challenging ICE, saying it's not fair to lock up asylum seekers with children solely to deter others. A federal judge has temporarily blocked the policy. ICE officials refused to be interviewed for this story, but sent a statement that they are, quote, complying with the court's order. The government has until April 1st to appeal, otherwise the case proceeds. Stephanie and her son Jose got lucky that a lawyer found them and took on their case. Lauren Connell was one of a handful of volunteer attorneys who made the trek to Carnes.
These women are detained in a place that's isolated and not easily accessible. So that was really my first impression, was just, wow, this is far away from where people are and can really help.
Without an attorney, there's not much hope for release or asylum. In family immigration cases recently studied by Syracuse University, 99% of those who lacked a lawyer were ordered deported. Only with Connell's help, Stephanie was able to convince an immigration judge to free her while her asylum case is being decided. When she heard she would be released,
the first thing I did was drop to my knees and thank God for everything he had done for me.
Stephanie has her day in court in May. Tomorrow, we'll hear about 6-year-old Jose's experience and the controversy over children in ICE detention. And that's the California Report for Thursday, March 26th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Julie Small. This is the California Report.
Support for the California Report comes from Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org. The James Irvine Foundation, with nomination information about the 2016 James Irvine Foundation Leadership Awards available at irvine.org. And Digital Foundry, working with leading organizations to jumpstart digital innovation. More online at digitalfoundry.com.